Hey, what's going on, everybody, and welcome back to episode 6 of the Everything I Learned podcast. We got a special show here for you guys today. Once again, I'm Doug, as usual. We have to my right is...
Jason, what's going on?
And...
David.
And we also have a very special guest with us here today, friend and fan of the podcast. why don't you introduce yourself there, Beth?
Hey, y'all, I'm Beth.
Hey, so we're gonna
riveting.
Thank you, David.
A female.
We're just gonna jump right into it. Instead of doing what we've recently watched, we're gonna talk about very tragic passing of Robin Williams, as I'm sure most of you know out there. So we're just gonna talk about what our favorite Robin Williams movies are. I guess I'll get it started off. I gotta honestly say that my favorite isn't really a movie, it's more of his stand-up comedy special, Robin Williams Live on Broadway, which, I don't know, have you guys ever seen that?
I've seen it, yeah.
His stand-up is just, you know, you guys know, he's like, obviously, a little manic at times, and kind of all over the place, and his stand-up, he's in and out of impressions and everything, it's just absolutely hilarious.
That was the cocaine talking.
Yeah.
I'm sure it was. I'm sure it was. Because that was definitely during the time when he had his addictions and
problems.
Everything.
Right.
But I will.
That's also when he went like half gorilla and he had like huge hair on his arms because he didn't used to have that. He can get like really, really hairy.
I think that's the cocaine too.
Does that cocaine?
I think cocaine does that, yeah.
To no some way.
People. Yeah.
I just remember him being really hairy.
And really sweaty.
But that was one of his funny jokes, too, especially when he holds his arm up and he's like, what women must see when they're
well. Yeah. I will say, though, that's probably one of my favorite stand-up comedy routines of all time. When he's talking about the Olympics and everything, so fucking funny.
I don't know. I never really got into that. Like, when it comes to, like, the live tapings, like, of comedians, I always like Eddie Murphy Raw. I think a little bit more.
Yeah, he's a little too like raunchy. Loud and boisterous for my
and Robin Williams isn't loud,
but he's in a different way. Like you said, raunchy. Like yeah. Robin Williams isn't as raunchy as Eddie Murphy is. But
I agree, Doug.
But all right, what did you like, Jason?
I mean, of course, I like the classic, like Aladdin, because it has that same kind of his humor, and that was the first time I really got exposed to him as a kid. I mean,
He
has all those different impersonations, especially when he's playing the genie, and even like the songs, and you know, we pride ourselves on service. Like I just remember all the different characters he did in that movie. So I mean, there's other ones like you know Mrs. Doubtfire and stuff like that. I guess it's a lot of childhood movies.
Oh, Aladdin definitely showcases his versatility in terms of different voices, different impersonations and everything. Like, he plays, you know, the creepy genie for a second and then plays...
Oh, that's really creepy. He turns big and red and shit at the end. Oh, man.
Or when he's turning into people, he's like, I can't bring people back from the dead. I don't like doing it.
Yeah.
He's fucking hilarious in that. So, Jason, David, what's your favorite?
Well, my favorite is the made-for-TV film, Mork Goes Home.
Mork.
No, I'm just kidding. It's actually Mrs. Doubtfire. When I think of Robin Williams, I think of childhood memories, of course, you know, like you said, Aladdin. But one of my favorite VHSs that I had was Mrs. Doubtfire.
Yeah.
And if I still go back and watch it today, I will still pick up things that my mind couldn't comprehend when I was a kid.
Oh, yeah. Little jokes here and
like
there.
Little jokes about like his brother being gay and like all their jokes in there.
Yeah.
But I think it's the best showcase of Robin Williams' comedic acting because, you know, he did the original fat suit woman comedy before Martin Lawrence's Big Mama's House and all this.
And he did it so well, too. Yeah. Like, it was believable. You'd think he was
a woman. Looked like a woman. It was great. But the my favorite scene in the entire movie is where the social worker's coming over to visit his house, and he's coming in at night after working as Mrs. Doubtfire. He's like, oh, he's right upstairs. And she goes upstairs, and she accidentally knocks the mask out, or like the mask off into the street, and he gets ran over by the dump truck.
Yeah.
And then the little Asian kids across the street are watching him put the fat suit on, and they're like, ew, gross. Oh, I love that scene.
And then he like puts his face in the pie, and he's like, hello!
Would you like one drop or two? that's my favorite Robin Williams film.
And I agree, is absolutely hilarious. All right, Beth, what do you got?
I mean, I want to say I really like a lot of his serious roles. Like, I think he's one of the few comedians that can pull off both serious and
don't hilarious. Say 1 hour photo, please.
Oh god, that movie is that creepy. Was terrifying. Creepy. I couldn't watch Robin Williams do that.
Yeah,
because he was so freaky.
Jerk off to pictures.
But yeah, like people. I love Dead Poets Society. That's probably one of my favorites. Classic. But I want to say Death to Smoochie, just because it's one. I think it's one of his funniest roles because he plays something completely different from anything he's ever played.
I honestly, don't
his one liners in this movie are fucking hilarious.
It is so
like
funny.
I'm going safari, motherfucker. Safari. Just like calling and threatening Smoochie. And Edward Norton is like the perfect compliment to him.
Who else is in that movie?
Who's that woman? You know, the one that's in 40-Year-Old Virgin. The one that Andy falls in love with.
Yeah,
I don't
remember
her name.
The main heartthrob.
She's the love
main woman
in that.
Not Carla Gugino. I can't think of who it is.
Yeah. No, there's a couple other people in the movie that are pretty famous.
I always get this mixed up. I think there's a movie similar to it, or it came out the same time frame. It has Danny DeVito in it.
Danny DeVito is in this movie.
Okay.
Yeah. He's in it.
I forgot about that.
That little short guy that I can never remember his name either. Not Danny DeVito.
Warwick Davis?
No, Danny Woodburn.
Danny Woodburn.
Who plays his buddy Angelo in it.
Oh, yeah.
The second one is a midget. Yeah, he's funny in it. John Stewart's in it, too.
That's right, yeah.
And, but Death to Smoochie is so funny because they contrast each other perfectly. Oh. I don't know if you guys don't know, but Robin Williams and Edward Norton are competing to be a child star, basically similar to kind of Barney, almost.
Yeah.
And it
Robin
kind of,
Williams
isn't
is
like
the
a
old
purple
one.
Elephant or something
yeah.
like that?
Yeah. He's
a
dinosaur.
A rhino.
Rhino.
Yeah.
Death
yeah.
to the rhino.
Yeah, yeah. And that was funny, too, because, you know, he's trying to sabotage him all the time, and then he, like, makes these cookies in the shapes of penises, and he puts them into, like, this bag, and then Edward Norton, live on the show, pulls one out, and he's like, it's a rocket ship! And then, like, everyone's like, yeah! All the kids, so he's like, damn it. And he's like, you know, I didn't get him this time. But it's hilarious.
Oh, yeah. Very funny. Very funny. All right, so I guess we'll get right into it now. This week we're doing the top 5 best romantic comedies. And we figured this would be a good one to have a woman's perspective on.
Oh, thank you.
Hence, Beth. So I guess
I thought Jason would have been a good woman to have on the show. But...
Guys, stop it. You flatter me.
You are very good at picking out romantic comedies.
Yes, it's really sad because every episode he's mentioned a movie, a romantic comedy that he loves. When he pulled out fucking What Women Want.
Oh, yeah.
We own that.
Good grief.
And when we get to the games, if he gets a freaking romantic comedy, he'll just be like,
ooh, I want to answer this one.
I guess both When Harry Met Sally and Sleepless in Seattle last
and
year.
And Steel Magnolias.
That's not a romantic comedy.
That's a chick movie, dude.
Okay, totally. So we're just doing chick movies then. Okay, fine.
Good grief.
What?
At the risk of sounding sexist, David.
What?
Chick movies.
Fuck you. It's crazy.
All right, so let's get right into it. Romantic comedies. We'll start with Jason. Jason, what do you got for your number 5 romantic comedy?
All right, number 5, we got a 2011 film called Friends with Benefits. Now, this is the one with Mia Kunis.
What did you guys see in her?
Oh, man.
She just seems
like
you could just...
I think Mia Kunis is hot.
I don't think so.
I feel like you could just, like...
I think, what is that?
Bang and play video games. It's like, I just feel like she'd be like, whatever, do you.
She's from Ukraine, too. She speaks in Russian, it's really sexy.
Yeah. Well, she went, speaking of video games, she went through a whole, like, interview on a talk show once where she played, like, World of Warcraft for a long time.
Yeah, she played WoW.
And she couldn't, like, be on a mic because everyone would recognize her voice as Meg.
She plays WoW.
Now we're talking.
Well, anyways, I mean, you nailed it, though. It's the one with Mia Kunis and Justin Timberlake, not the horrible version of the movie, I think, that came out before that, called No Strings Attached, with Natalie Portman and Ashton Kutcher, which was the same concept. And I feel like this one didn't get a lot of, like... I don't know, views, because they're like, oh, they're just repeating this other movie. I mean, obviously, they were filming at the same time. This one just came out later. Way better. It's, if you didn't know, it's like, while trying to avoid the cliches of Hollywood romantic comedies, Dylan Harper and Jamie Rellis soon discover how that adding the act of sex to their friendship does lead to complications. So they're basically like, you're attractive, I'm attractive, I don't want a relationship right now, let's just hook up. And... it's funny. It's hilarious. And Justin Timberlake is always funny.
He's so funny in that movie. I mean, he doesn't really get credit, really, for being
he's a very good comedic actor,
but he is funny in some of his movies where he plays a comedy role and everything like that.
just say one thing about Jason's list? You bring up a lot of JT movies.
I do.
You have a man crush on JT.
I think you have a man crush on Justin.
Nothing wrong with that. He's dreaming.
No, yeah. I think every guy has a man crush on JT.
All I need is my suit and tie, David.
They just don't matter.
All I need is my suit.
Oh, one more thing about this movie. The director is Will Gluck, who also directed and produced Easy A.
Yeah.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I love that movie.
Yeah, that was an honorable mention for me. I mean, it was very close. I didn't know if there was enough of a romantic whole comedy. I mean, it's definitely funny, but I thought it was more of like...
Yeah. Which I think, Emma Stone, greater than Mila Kunis.
Whoa. I mean, Emma Stone,
you would take Emma Stone
awesome
over Mila.
Oh, hell yeah, in a heartbeat.
But that's a little... That's blasphemy, right?
Well, no, it's not. She's so hot.
She is very pretty.
Emma might make another appearance later on my list.
Yeah, she's in Spider-Man. Makes it even better.
Yeah, that's a romantic comedy.
Well, it's got comedy.
All right, well, David, what's your number five?
Okay, guys, I do this every week, but I have to try to justify my list here.
Justify it afterwards. Just lay it out there.
My first movie.
Gauge the reaction.
Number five here. Movie from 2001. It was directed by Dennis Gordon. Top billed actors are David Spade, Brittany Daniel, and Dennis Miller.
Dennis Miller? David Spade?
Fucking Joe Dirt.
Joe Dirt. Okay.
Okay, now you need to justify that. Like, what is romantic comedy about this?
Okay. Well, let me read you the plot here, and then I'll get into it. David Spade stars as Joe Dirt, an idiot who works as an oil weller.
Said it wrong. Joe Dirte.
Who's in search of his parents, who abandoned him when he was a baby at the Grand Canyon. And again, this might not look like a romantic comedy, but deep down inside, it is. Because all he wants to do is start a family with Brandy. At the end of the movie.
So out of his league.
Yeah.
Very much so.
Kid Rock is so right.
Fuck you. Kid Rock is such white trash in the movie.
What other character is Kid Rock going to play?
That's true.
Yeah, I think his whole comedic acting, it began to be summed up to a guy who is white trash.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, his IMDb profile is just white trash.
White trash guy.
They didn't even have a wardrobe for him. He just showed up on set, and they're like, you're good to go.
Yeah, he comes in with a cut-off like flannel shirt and a mullet.
And a beater.
There you go. And drinking, like, Pabst Blue Ribbon.
That's his natural resting state.
And in a Z28 IROC or whatever. Fucking...
But I do agree, Joe Dirt. I mean, a little. I don't know if the romantic side.
My other movies are more romantic comedies.
I mean, I guess it'll count.
I'll count it.
But he wants. I mean, his whole thing is he wants a family. At the heart of it, he wants a family, and he wants to start a family with Brandy.
Wait, doesn't he do his cousin in that movie?
Well, he thinks Brandy's his cousin.
No,
it's not Brandy that he thinks is his cousin.
It's somebody else.
Jamie Lee.
Presley.
Jamie Lee Presley.
Oh, okay, yeah.
It's Jamie Lee Presley's in that. And at first he doesn't think that she's his cousin, and then she might be, and then he goes on banging her anyways, but then he finds out afterwards, because he goes, I may have done something really bad.
Yeah, I thought so.
Christopher Walken is amazing in that film, because he's the mob guy.
Mm-hmm.
He was like a janitor at the... I can't remember where he was a janitor. I think he was like at a school or something. It was great.
Yeah, and then... Joe Dirt accidentally reveals his location, and then Christopher Walken gets killed.
Oh, yeah. Well, you think he gets killed, and he comes back at the end.
So the movie is so funny, and it's awesome because it kind of, like, it takes so many twists and turns throughout the movie. I just think it's hilarious. All right, Beth, what's your number five here?
My number five is a 2005 film. Director is Roger Cumble. You may recognize him. He directed Cruel Intentions and The Sweetest Thing. And it's starring Ryan Reynolds, Amy Smart, and Anna Faris. And it's Friends.
Just Friends, yeah.
And I love this movie. I took the description from IMDb, and it says, while visiting his hometown during Christmas, a man comes face to face with his old high school crush, whom he was best friends with, a woman whose rejection of him turned into a ferocious womanizer. And it's so much more than that, though. I mean, Ryan Reynolds wears a fat suit in this. And it's amazing.
That's kind of what
he plays
ruins
the best
it.
Fat guy.
Singing, oh, really? It's not too many scenes, though. It's only a few.
I know, but that's kind of...
When he's singing Boyz II Men.
That's my favorite
movie. I love that.
And I swear.
I don't know. Ryan Reynolds kind of bothers me in general. pretty much anything that he's in.
He bothers me too, but I loved him.
Except for Van Wilder.
He's so pretty. Why do you mean he bothers you? Is he too like...
Did you say he's so pretty?
Yeah.
Dude, that's a man crush right there.
That is okay, I totally man crush. He's over JT.
Yeah, definitely over JT.
Oh my God. But he seems like very funny and witty though. Is that because it's too much?
I feel like he tries a little bit too hard in his comedic delivery and everything. I just don't think that it's...
I thought it was perfect in this movie.
I think it is funny, and I will agree, though, I have a huge crush on Amy Smart ever since Road Trip.
Yeah.
Where you see her naked and everything.
And I don't think that's actually her in Road Trip, though.
And I don't think you call that a crush. I think that's something different, Doug.
Oh, it's a crush.
He crushes his penis with his hand.
Call it what you will, but...
That was one of those... Road Trip was definitely one of those movies.
I love Road Trip.
J.O. material when you were...
It's like, let me Google for this certain scene.
Yeah, definitely.
There are ladies present. That's like, come on, guys.
Like, I told you at the beginning of this podcast that I was going to treat Beth like a dude.
It's like that one quote from Anchorman. I was in love once. Made love in the back of a bathroom for hours. I don't think that's love, but go on.
No, and what's then it, she's in Crank. Like? She's hot in that too.
Yeah. Dude. Yeah, but that's such a ridiculous movie. Well, David loves him.
I love the Crank movies.
It's meant to be ridiculous.
Are those Jason Statham ones?
Yeah. Yes, oh, they're great.
That's the only bald man in the world that's attractive to me. He's the only person that can
Is it the accent?
It might be. Yeah. It might be the accent.
Steve Buscemi's not attractive.
Oh boy.
Man crush.
So hot. Oh boy.
The fish face.
Alright, so Just Friends, your number five?
Just Friends. Yeah, I was debating between that and something else. But I love that movie.
It is good.
It's good to watch at Christmas.
Definitely a romantic comedy. Definitely a romantic comedy. A little very heavy on the romance.
I love how Ryan Reynolds just keeps like almost devolving throughout the movie because he's like such like a super hot, sexy stud, and then he gets in that ice hockey game and busts his mouth and he gets the retainer back,
and then he loses his clothes somehow and he has to wear his old like clothes from high school. And he looks like the he's like, oh, this is the Michael what's that singer?
Michael Bolton
starter kit.
It's great.
All right. So, Doug, what's your number five?
My number five is from 2001. Let's see if you guys can guess this.
All right.
I haven't seen it, I swear.
Because I'll know. All right. I'm going to say it by the actors. Ben Foster, Kirsten Dunst, Sisko, Shane West.
I know this movie.
Mila Kunis and Martin Short.
What's it called? It's called, it's the one where they're in the play.
Yes.
It's a Midsummer Night's Dream. It's called,
Get Over It.
Get Over It. I thought I was going to say Just Go With It. I was like, that's not it. It's Get Over It. Oh my God.
See, I didn't know it, guys. That's I didn't brilliant. Know it.
That's I love that movie.
2001 movie. I think this is one of Ben, Colin Hanks is also in it too.
Who's Colin Hanks?
Tom Hanks' son.
Yeah, you know.
Oh, who does he play?
Orange County. He's,
dude, I love Orange County.
He's, his Burke Landers, who's played by Ben Foster, who's the main character, it's his best friend in the movie. Who's also Kirsten Dunst is Ben Foster. He's from Lone Survivor.
310 to
Yuma.
He's the evil blonde. The mechanic.
Oh, yeah, he's really creepy.
Alpha Dog.
Didn't he do a lot of Disney stuff when he was
Alpha
younger?
Alpha Dog?
Yeah.
I know that. Thank you, JT, again, right? Alpha Dog?
Alpha Dog. Yeah, JT looks like so a much badass in that movie.
Maybe you guys need to do JT movies.
I think we need to start doing Everything I Learned alum, Justin Timberlake, because he keeps getting brought up, guys.
Yeah, I'm not sure if I agree with that wording, but we'll go with it.
He's been mentioned several times, just saying.
No. All right, so Get Over It. It's when Burke Landers, a popular high school basketball star, gets dumped by his lifelong girlfriend, Allison. He soon begins to lose it. But with help of his friends, Felix's sister, Kelly, who is Kirsten Dunst, he follows his ex into the school spring musical. This induces a love triangle between him and Shane West and Allison, where they're basically doing A Midsummer Night's Dream. The movie kind of plays on A Midsummer Night's Dream while they're doing the play.
Mm. Who plays Puck?
I don't know. Who's Puck in that?
Isn't he like the pixie?
Yes.
Oh, it's funny that you say that. It is, I don't know if you remember the little nerdy kid from Harriet the Spy that always wears the purple socks.
Yeah.
That's who it is.
He is the fairy in that random pull, but he is the fairy in that movie.
He might be in it for a hot minute.
Yeah, okay. Not it for, but Martin Short is what makes this movie. He's the director of the play, and he is so fucking funny in this movie. he's like,
why could, he's the one who played Jiminy Glick, right? Yeah. Martin Short.
Jiminy Glick.
Or, Yeah.
It's one of the three Jiminy,
no, well, yeah, but no, he does Jiminy Glick too.
Okay, that'd be cool if he was Jiminy Glick and he was directed the ball.
No, he's like loud. Yeah. He is like loud and boisterous and everything and flamboyant. Yeah. It's very funny. Martha, keep icing your front bum. I need you for later. So funny.
That is such a random pick. That's a really good pick, though. Well, no, it has Cisco in it.
It does.
No
have
one
Cisco.
Saw that movie.
And Cisco dances his ass off.
Ooh, I'm seeing a trend here. He used to. He picked the Faculty last week, which had Usher in it. So I can't imagine what like 90s old
hip hop
star is going to be in his next top five.
Will you go into Doug's high school, like his room when he was in high school? He had like thong song, like on his wall,
trying to do that dance.
thong.
It never worked out.
All right, so I guess it's up for me for number four then, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yes, sir.
Well, there's your crush, Emma Stone's in my number four 2011 movie called Crazy Stupid Love.
I thought about putting... This is on my honorable mention.
Yeah, so it's got Steve Carell, Ryan Gosling, Julianne Moore, and Emma Stone. And directed by Glenn Ficarra and John Requaix. I didn't recognize any of the films, really, that they did. But it's basically middle-aged husband. Life's changed dramatically when his wife asks him for a divorce. He seeks to rediscover his manhood with the help of a newfound friend, Jacob, learning to pick up girls at a bar. So the husband that is, it's Steve Carell and Julianne Moore, they're the ones getting the divorce, and then Ryan Gosling is like this stud that's in the bars. God, it kind of like takes him, another man crush.
Dude.
He's the funniest part of that movie, too.
He is.
And he has a Giving Tree tattoo, just like I have a Giving Tree tattoo.
Is that where you got that
tattoo? So me and him are basically best friends.
Oh. You're basically the same person.
They're basically best friends.
You basically fucked.
I wish.
Dude, no. Him and Drive... He doesn't talk at all.
Yeah,
but he's like brutal as fuck.
Have you seen Place Beyond the Pines?
What?
Also, I heard Place Beyond the Pines is terrible. That's why I haven't watched it.
I enjoyed it.
Dude, Drive is amazing.
Drive,
he puts
it's
on that
a
leather glove
slow.
And he grabs Christina Hendricks and just like smacks the shit out of him. He's like, the next words that come out of your mouth better be the fucking truth. Yeah, it's fucking great, dude.
I love David's like, it's a great movie, and then the next scene he lists is a man hitting a woman. Like, instantly next.
Dude, he is like, I mean...
Spousal abuse. Yes.
Not the amazing driving, it was just like, instantly, that's my...
Well, no, he's acting in that scene because, like, that kid's dad got killed. Or, like, his girlfriend's dad got killed. Or boyfriend... Ah, fuck it! Her husband got killed because... This woman ratted on him.
Yeah,
so
yeah, yeah.
Anyways.
Dude, anyways.
Beer boner.
Ryan Gosling takes Steve Carell under his arm. Because
under his arm or under his wing?
Under his wing, sorry, thank you. And it kind of like...
Come down here.
Yeah. And like kind of teaches him how to rediscover his manhood. He's hilarious. And
I love all the slapping.
Oh, I have.
There's
seen
a couple
this.
Other twists too. Because you
who
don't really,
slaps him?
There's a
Ryan Gosling.
Ryan Gosling slaps Steve.
Yo, see, he's got a powerful slap. See, he's in several movies.
But there's a couple different like places where like you there's multiple stories that's following because it's following Emma Stone's story because she kind of like is flirting with Ryan Gosling and kind of changing him. And he takes advice from Steve Carell later on. And you don't really know how all these stories are linked. There's multiple stories going on, and they all come together at the end, and it's like this big craziness, and it's really great.
I love the chemistry between Emma Stone and Ryan Gosling in this movie.
Oh, yeah.
Their banter and their flirting is perfect.
Mm-hmm.
Too witty.
They look
people.
Like they belong together.
And she tries to, like, pull it off like she doesn't want to, like, hook up with him or anything like that, but
you
know she does.
Right.
You know she
it's not
does.
Believable.
Oh, yeah.
Does she have a lisp? Can we just get it out there? Emma Stone. Does
Emma
she
Stone.
Have a lisp?
I haven't noticed. And I usually notice weird lisps in people when they...
Thank you, Christian Bale.
She's definitely...
I'm the best man.
Was that Christian Bale?
I'm best man. Fucking no. You watch fucking Batman again? You're like, yo, Christian Bale's got a fucking lisp.
You ruined it for me now.
I thought he did too because he's like...
Thank you, Pete Holmes, doing Batman.
That's what he does. That's Pete Holmes does an amazing Batman impersonation because he gives him that over exaggerated list.
In
a way that would surprise you. If she does have a list, though, it kind of makes her a little bit hotter.
Because she's not perfect?
Yeah, exactly.
Well, mm-hmm.
Don't like those perfect girls.
Love the imperfection.
What was it? What's the imperfection with Mila Kunis?
Her voice?
Her voice is kind of
she's
whiny.
Ukrainian.
It's definitely whiny initially, but it's so
Ukraine.
Hot.
She's
from
Ukraine.
And
that is, everyone from Ukraine is the defect.
Yeah, uh-huh.
Okay. All
right. Well, David, what's your number? It's
definitely
number
not a positive.
All right, I'm starting to get into my romantic comedies here, guys.
No more. Joe Dirt was just a
welcome.
I just wanted to.
I had a hard time with this list. Welcome I don't go out of my way.
There weren't practical effects.
Sorry, David, I had to do that.
All right, yeah, there's no fucking romantic comedies with cars transforming into fucking robots either.
I wish
either
there was.
There. Yeah. My number four is Little Moon from 95. The director is Alan Moyle. Or Mole? I don't know. I hope it's not Moyle. The top build is Anthony LaPaglia, Debbie Mazur, Maxwell Caulfield, Liv Tyler, Ethan Embry, and Renee Zellweger. It was a wedger, however you fucking say your
list. I couldn't guess this if I wanted to.
Bridget Jones's Diary.
No. Empire Records.
That's a good one.
That is a
that's
great
a good
movie.
One. That's a good one.
The plot.
David, that is a good one. You're right. Thank you.
Thank you, Ben. Fuck you guys. The plot synopsis, the employees of an independent music store learn about each other as they try anything to stop the store from being absorbed by a large chain. And there's this great...
Hilarity ensues.
Hilarity, yeah, it does ensue, because there's a lot of hijinks and stuff that goes on in this movie. It's great. But the whole premise of the movie is, they're bit, like, again, their store's being absorbed by a larger chain, and they're bringing in, like, this faded music star who wants to, who's releasing a new album, and Liv Tyler's character, Corey, wants to fuck this guy. She wants to lose her virginity to him. But there's, like, the hot guy in the store, his name's AJ. This is Johnny Whitworth character. He really likes Liv Tyler's character. And so he's trying to the entire time, while all his other hijinks and all his other stories are going on, he's trying to get with her. It's a great,
it's a great movie. It's a love triangle.
I haven't seen that since
what
college.
A flick.
It is. It's one of those classic 90s, very 90s. And I will say, like, looking at my list,
what's the
I don't
girl?
Know if I venture, I do venture once back into the 2000s. The rest of my movies are from the 90s. I think the 90s was the pinnacle of romantic comedy.
Mine's the opposite, though.
She's all that.
Shut the fuck up!
Ruin it.
God,
just ruin it.
No, you didn't ruin it. That's one of my.
But like when I think of romantic comedies from the 90s, that's the first one that comes to mind right there.
Who she's all that?
Yeah, with Freddie Prinze Jr.
Freddie Prinze so Jr. and Rachel Lee. Rachel Lee Cook's so.
Again, what happened to her?
We talked about it, and then she doesn't look like she used to at all. Of course, who does? But some people didn't age gracefully, and. From the IMDb.
That'll happen.
Freddie Prinze is kind of scraggly looking now.
I told,
helps, I think.
But not in, like, a good scraggly. Like, he still has, like, his baby face, but he's scraggly now.
Freddie Prinze looks like a young Stanley Tucci right now.
What?
Freddie Prinze looks like a young Stanley Tucci right now. If you look at his IMDb.
Yeah. Oh, that's weird.
Yeah.
We
have discussed this. That's why I'm saying. We've already done. This movie keeps coming up.
I think I recall this.
Yes, it was.
That's gross.
Beth, how about you go back and listen to the rest of our podcast?
I'm sorry, oh my god.
You would learn that we've talked about Freddie Prinze Jr.
Kind of zone out after like an hour and a half. So
I do too, and I gotta edit these fucking things.
I'm already zoned out, and I'm here.
What are we doing?
So, my number four was Empire Records.
Oh, right, yeah, okay. So
nobody's seen
Beth? Beth, number four.
My number four is a 1995 movie starring Sandra Bullock, Bill Pullman, and Peter Gallagher. It's directed by John Turteltaub. Who did National Treasure and The Sorcerer's Apprentice.
I think I know this.
And it's While You Were Sleeping.
Yeah.
This is one of my favorite romantic comedies in the entire world. And you've never seen it, have you? Neither.
Well, go ahead and describe the plot.
Okay, well, the IMDb description was terrible.
See National Treasure.
Lucy, a ticket collector at the Chicago Transit, has fallen in love with one of her patrons, Peter, from afar. He doesn't know she exists until one day she saves him from falling unconscious onto the tracks of an oncoming train.
That old chestnut.
In order to see him in the hospital, she lies about being his fiancé. Peter wakes up in the hospital and, not recognizing Lucy, is immediately diagnosed by the doctor with acute amnesia.
Mm-hmm.
His family immediately takes Lucy under their wing as the beautiful fiancé they didn't know about, who saved Peter's life. Lucy, lonely and without a family, around Christmas continues the charade, but one of Peter's brothers isn't buying it. So it's basically just a story of Sandra Bullock. She, like, lives by herself. It's Christmas time. She doesn't have any family left. And this crazy, wacky, loud family takes her in. And she thinks she's in love with the guy whose family it is. But then she kind of starts falling for his brother, played by Bill Pullman. Nice. And Peter Gallagher is great in this. I don't know if you guys like a lot of movies with Peter Gallagher. But he is just, like, spacey and hilarious in this movie. And...
remind me who Peter Gallagher is.
He's an American Beauty. He's the what is it? The realtor, the one that.
Oh, okay, you're talking about.
The eyebrows. Yeah. That's what it's all about. But
Okay.
I love this movie because Sandra Bullock usually annoys the shit out of me in almost everything she does. I love her, but this is one of her earlier movies that she's kind of getting that manic Sandra Bullock comedy about her, but it's toned down and it's not as bad. And it's also very cute.
I think reached its pinnacle in What About Steve? Have you seen that with her and Bradley Cooper?
Yes.
That movie's fucking terrible.
She has a movie with Ryan Reynolds.
Yeah, The Proposal, right?
The Proposal wasn't bad. It was a little...
Oh, yeah. No, Peter Gallagher.
Missed that one.
That movie.
You know who Peter Gallagher is.
Yeah, because because I couldn't place his face. The movie I know him from is The Man Who Knew Too Little with him and Bill Murray.
Yeah.
I love that movie.
This movie's just good because it's just, you know, he's so spacey in it, and the family's just really funny. They're like a loud New York kind of family.
Yeah.
Jason's watched it before. The mashed potatoes are so creamy.
He's the dick in Mr. Deeds.
Yeah.
Yes.
That's what I remember him from.
Deeds.
So, yeah. Sorry y'all haven't seen it. A lot of mine are kind of obscure.
Why is it called While You Were Sleeping?
Because it's... Peter's in, like, a coma for the first, like, week or two, and that's how she starts getting to know the family, and then when he wakes up, she's like, oh, shit, and then the doctor's like, he must have amnesia.
There's a new... There's
and she
a new,
just goes with it.
Yeah.
There's a new coma love story coming out. Is it called If I Stay? In the theaters
right
now?
Oh, yeah, that's the one with,
The girl from Kick-Ass.
Yes. Oh, my God, I didn't make that connection to us now.
What?
If I Stay.
Yeah.
She's in a car accident.
I can't think where the girl's name is right off the top of my head, though. The actress. She plays Hit Girl.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And she, like, plays, like, a violin or cello or some shit.
There's
like,
a lot of...
She gets in a car accident, then is in a coma, and then he plays a guitar or something. It seems like a big, sad...
It looks very sad.
Big, sad disaster.
Dude, what's the deal with all these, like, super sad disaster movies, like, The Fault in Your Stars and all that?
I read that. It's a John Green book, and John Green is huge in the young adult...
My wife
area.
Just read it because she wanted to see the movie, so she read it. And
it's
she's
his
like,
worst book.
She's like, fuck this book, like, afterwards. I'm like, what do you mean?
It's his worst book. He played the cancer card.
And he played the cancer card, and then it's a fucking, like, 180 switch at the end, and you're like, goddamn, you asshole.
Yeah. Messed up shit.
I was just thinking, there's a ton of romantic movies that have to do with amnesia or comas.
51st Dates.
Wait, what?
I like 51st Dates.
Oh, so, yeah. Okay, so 51st Dates.
The
and
Notebook.
Then the Notebook.
Yeah.
And then...
That's all romantic numbers. Comedy?
What, the Vow?
Notebook?
The Vow?
The Vow, but that's not funny.
I'm saying this is the one that I can find that's funny.
Talking about love stories
Amnesia's
where people forget
hilarious.
People
I was going to make
things.
A joke about... And
Alzheimer's.
When you're doing your plot synopsis, and then I was like, and then Adam Sandler eats Spam with some Hawaiians.
That's pretty much it. It is funny and it's cute though. So,
okay,
moving
so,
on.
Doug,
I don't hate it. I don't hate it. So my number four is 2000, directed by the Farrelly brothers.
Is it Something About Mary?
Nope. Me, Myself, and Irene.
Me, Myself, and Irene.
Oh, how's it going?
Jim Carrey, Renee Zellweger. Basically the two main characters. Anthony Anderson's funny in it. He plays one of. Jim Carrey's three African American.
Oh, the
sons.
He was raised by.
They are so funny. Yeah. They're just like foul mouth swear throughout the whole movie, but are absolute geniuses. They know how to like read the instruction manual to fly the helicopter in complete German.
Yeah.
It's just so funny.
You gotta use the motherfucking
hot cow.
Hot
the scene with the cow laying in the middle of the road, and he's like, "I had to go put her out of her misery."
Yeah, he keeps shooting it; won't
God.
Go down.
Keeps all right.
So for those of you who don't know, Jim Carrey plays Charlie, who is a Rhode Island state trooper with multiple personalities. He is otherwise mild-mannered and non-confrontational until somebody or something pushes him a little bit too far. That's when his manic alter ego, Hank, takes over. Charlie is assigned on a routine mission to return alleged fugitive Irene back to upstate New York. But you find out that there are corrupt police officers that know her ex-boyfriend who are trying to kill her and everything. So basically Jim Carrey trying to protect her and everything. And whenever anything like goes wrong or anything, Hank will come through and act like a complete asshole to everybody. You gonna pick up that cigarette butt or should I?
That's one of those movies where I think like Jim Carrey just went off the deep end like with his crude comedy.
Oh, because
he had never
swinging
really...
the dildo
where he's
around.
Like, do you have fun? Do you have fun? He's like swinging the dildo around. This the scene where he's in the grocery store when like the Hank switch kicks off and like the lady butts in front of him, and she's got like the
Vagisil.
The Vagisil price check on Vagisil. we got a lady with a cheesy taco.
Oh, God, yeah.
it's so gross, dude. And then he's, like, he's breastfeeding on that woman. And then he's him driving the police cruiser. He's got the milk mustache. Oh, that movie makes me laugh, but it is one of his cruder.
Oh, that movie, and the reason why I was like, all right, this might not be a romantic comedy, because it is so crude. I mean, at its core, it's him and Renee Zellweger kind of falling in love throughout the movie.
Oh, it is.
But it's just so funny.
Mrs. Scrunchface herself.
Yeah.
What?
Yeah.
He just sucked on a lemon.
I was going to say, he even says that. Your face is all pursed up like you just sucked on a lemon. And she's looking at like, what the fuck? Where did that come from?
And then that, what's that pale dude, Whitey or whatever?
Oh my god, he's my favorite.
He snipes that guy at the end of the movie.
What happened to your parents? I killed all of them. Okay, I'm gonna go see what Irene's doing.
When he gets one of my favorite scenes though, where they're at the Ben and Jerry's. I forget where they're at. They're like at the Ben and Jerry's headquarters, and they're like Hank is trying to get out, and they're like Jim Carrey's basically in a fist fight with himself, and he's like punching himself in the face, and he's like pulling himself like off it, like rolling down a hill and rolling through stuff. It's great.
It is, and it's great acting. Honestly, the fact that he makes those two split personalities seamlessly seem like different, completely different people, which I think is impressive.
Yeah, it's a very funny movie.
Very funny, very crude. Not really. I mean, if you're looking for romance, I don't know if this is the movie to watch, but
yeah,
it's got a romantic element to it.
All right, Jason.
All right, Jason.
Number three. No, 2008 movie. And you're going to know it once I start listening to the cast. I think we talked about it. Kristen Bell, Jason Segel.
Forgetting Sarah Marshall?
Yeah. Yep. Farther up my list.
Okay. Love this movie. All right. Well, would you like me to do the plot synopsis?
Go ahead, sir.
All right. We'll do the plot synopsis, then we'll talk about it later. But I love this movie. Devastated Peter, who is Jason Segel, takes a Hawaii vacation in order to deal with the recent breakup with his TV star girlfriend, who is Kristen Bell.
Who I fell in love with in this movie.
So did you fall in love with her when she was playing Veronica Mars?
Nah, not really, but when she plays this and she's prancing around in her little bathing suit all movie.
She's so tiny and she's so cute.
That's why I'm into it.
That scene where she's doing yoga is pretty hot.
She does yoga in real life.
Yeah,
she's vegan,
or like raw food diet or something.
She's married to Dax Shepard, right?
Yes.
Yeah. That's weird.
Yeah, and she met him on the While in Rome or something, three guys, another romantic comedy.
That's a weird one.
And who's Josh Duhamel.
And she throws the coin
Dax
into
and
the
somebody else. I can't remember what the third guy is in that movie. But they all like throw a coin in the same fountain that she throws a coin into, so they all fall in love with her.
Mm.
Yeah, so.
She's very cute in that movie.
But so they're going to Hawaii. He know that Sarah's traveling to the same resort as her ex, and she's bringing along her new boyfriend, who's Russell Brand.
Aldous Snow.
He is fucking funny in that. And yeah. Jonah Hill is like obsessed with Aldous Snow. And it's just so fucking funny.
Yeah.
It just went from 6 to midnight.
All right. We'll move on because this is the first double up that we've really
had. You know
who
it's written by?
No, who?
Jason Segel.
Oh, he wrote it, really?
Which is very impressive.
Very cool.
He writes all those movies with puppets.
He's written a few other.
He writes all those movies with puppets.
With puppets.
He's like obsessed with Muppets. He revived the whole Muppets.
Oh yeah, I remember he did that because I've seen the Muppets.
Speaking of which, I saw Muppets Most Wanted the other night.
Was it good? I haven't seen it yet.
No.
Have you seen the other newer
Muppet movie? Oh, that's great.
No, which I haven't.
I cried at that movie. At the end, because I love the Muppets growing up. Zach Galifianakis made it so perfect. Like, he brought the Muppets back exactly the way they're supposed to be.
Muppets Most Wanted kind of played off of that Muppets
you guys are talking about. Okay.
But I hadn't seen that one, and so I was a little confused at the beginning. But Ricky Gervais is very funny in it.
Oh, yeah.
I get something that ties all this together, because the director of this is Nicholas Stoller. He was a writer for a bunch of stuff. He wrote 5-Year Engagement. He wrote Fun with Dick and Jane. And he also wrote both of those two new Muppet movies. He's got to be probably close to ties with Jason Segel, too. Who knows?
He works with a lot of the same people.
5-Year Engagement bothers me.
Yeah,
it was weird. It went from like being really cute to being weird.
Immediately. It's too real and heartbreaking.
Yeah, it is.
Because people are cheating. I'll be honest. Like, when people are cheating on each other in a movie, I immediately am turned off from them.
Yeah.
It's like people love The Walking Dead and everything. When she's like banging his friend in like one of the first few episodes, I'm like, I'm not watching this anymore.
It's so uncomfortable.
It is. Well, and like you said, when you said real, it
feels like a real breakup.
Oh yeah,
like, it's a that's why it's uncomfortable.
They
yeah.
literally like just like fall out of love with each other and like want to hook up with other people, and then you're like, well, this is just getting too real right now.
It's
I don't
not
wanna,
even that funny
do,
either. There's
no.
only a few brief, really funny moments.
I've
in that
never
movie.
Seen the Five Year Game.
Don't,
second.
Don't,
yeah.
just don't.
And I love Emily with, Blunt too.
Emily Blunt, that's
I,
a
that's
crush.
My girl
yes.
crush. Emily
yes.
Blunt.
I'm, really?
Oh yeah, I'm in love with her.
She's cute, but
it's and the accent.
It
too.
Is the accent because when she was in Looper with an American accent,
oh, so
I was
weird.
Like, "Who is this redneck girl?"
It
I almost
so
didn't
weird.
Recognize her.
We gotta quit mentioning my guy crushes here because JGL.
Oh,
he's
love.
Awesome.
Yeah, yeah.
Jake Gyllenhaal.
Joseph Gordon-Levitt. Right?
It's like Jake Gyllenhaal. He looks like he has Down syndrome.
Well, he does have a little bit. He does look like he has a touch of the downs.
He's got a weird mentioned. Face. I'm all right,
all right, David. What's your number three?
Oh, this is like no
sisters. Even
Maggie. God,
what did
damn,
you read? What
she's
did you say?
Hideous.
Her face looks like a looks painting like a... that got rained on. Or
yeah, 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 yeah.
I always thought she looked like somebody held a candle under her face and it kind of melted
that's
down.
So mean.
She got hit with like a frying pan, just kind of flattened everything out.
Looks aside, she's a very good actress.
Like when you look at them in Donnie Darko, when you look at Jake Gyllenhaal and Maggie Gyllenhaal, like in their prime when they were kids.
Yes.
I mean, they. She looks fucking atrocious. I don't see where there are any relations that.
The fact that he ever made Bubble Boy is just.
That was on. That was on. I was actually on my list.
A disaster.
I picked it off. I love Bubble Boy.
I love Bubble Boy.
Dog
too.
Poop. This is awesome.
Fucking Zach Galifianakis in that movie. He always plays these stupid little small roles. He's the guy at the bus station, and he's like, "Can I buy a ticket? Take one step back."
Oh shoot! What's the one where he's in the psychiatric ward and he helps that kid?
Oh,
it's kind of a funny story.
Kind of
I
funny
actually
story.
Read that before I saw it too, and they did a really
we're
good job.
We're talking about Zach Galifianakis.
Zach Galifianakis.
Remember him in Youth and Revolt?
Yes. Yes. When he plays the stepdad.
He plays the stepdad.
That's a
movie.
Weird fucking movie.
That's a romantic
Michael,
comedy.
That's got fucking Michael Cera.
Is anyone going to have a Michael Cera romantic comedy? Because he's been in a few.
Oh no.
I think you.
Do, I don't have a Michael Cera movie.
I do.
I bet I know which one, but we'll.
You'll know which one it is. It's pretty obvious. My number three movie. This should be obvious why it's on my list. It's from writer-director Kev Smith.
Yeah.
Come on. 97. Chasing Amy.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Top billed actors. Ben Affleck, Jason Lee, and Joey Lauren Apt.
That movie, I saw that the other night, too, and it was it's
you
just weird.
That.
I saw parts of it. It was weird.
I love the Chasing Amy speech.
The Chasing Amy speech makes the movie. That's what
it
I
does.
Wrote. Okay, well, let me read the plot synopsis in case nobody's ever seen this. Holden and Banky are comic book artists. Everything's going good for them until they meet Alyssa, also a comic book artist. Holden, who is Ben Affleck, falls in love with her, but his hopes are crushed when he finds out she's gay. There's a couple scenes in the movie that really like are awesome, and the Chasing Amy speech, because you don't like the Silent Bob is always supposed to say something real like
profound,
and this is the movie where I think it's the best. I mean, it's...
But I also love how Jay's just sitting there eating sugar.
Yeah.
While he's telling the whole story. Just, like, pouring it in a spoon and stuffing
it's,
it in his face.
It's fucking great.
I'm back with the car.
You always have to tell the stupid fucking story.
You're
where
the
we
fucking
go.
Amy story. Like, and Jan's on Bob Strike Back. So you always gotta tell a fucking Amy story.
Or at the end when they're walking out of the theater. They should have made that one into a movie about the couple, or you guys being a couple. What, like Chasing Amy? No one would watch that shit.
No, you know, it's early Ben Affleck. It's not...
He's a bit weird in it.
It is really... There's a really uncomfortable scene where he wants Jason Lee to have a threesome
yes.
with him and Joey Lauren Adams.
It's a really uncomfortable scene.
That is really uncomfortable. And he's trying to talk them into a threesome. And that is... That's completely bonkers.
And what's her name? What drove me... I just watched this movie. What's the girl's name that plays Alyssa?
Joey Lauren Adams.
Is that her name?
Yeah.
I recognize her and everything. Her voice is so annoying to begin with.
It's
but she's, like,
pitch.
Screeching
yeah.
through the whole movie because they're fighting and she's whining and it's, like, this whole...
That's the main one, right?
Yeah.
Yes.
That scene where they're, like, outside
the... turning
the where
TV
it's, like,
out.
In the rain outside
she,
the bowling
oh,
alley.
Oh, yeah.
Well.
She's screaming.
Who's the... She reminds... Her voice reminds me of the one that played... That voiced... The girl doll in Bride of Chucky, and it's only one I can't remember.
Jennifer Tilly.
Jennifer Tilly.
She
reminds
yeah,
me of Jennifer Tilly.
Like Jennifer
yeah.
Tilly.
But Chase Amy is one of my best flub up scenes ever because if that scene where they're running in the rain,
yeah,
and outside the bowling alley, and like there's like the camera's like falling down the street.
Mm-hmm.
If you look inside the car windows. Like, on the car windows,
oh, no.
You'll see Kev Smith and you'll see the camera crew
Are you
and
serious?
Through the car windows and the tracking
nice.
Shot as they're going down the street. It's great. But I actually like the movie because I think it has a good resolve at the end.
Good
because,
message to it too.
Yeah,
the movie's good. It's a little slow.
Because and the reason you find out the reason she's gay is because she's had a horrible relationship with guys, mm-hmm. and she got a terrible name for herself because she had a threesome with two dudes at one point, and it fucking tarnished her relationship with men forever.
Mm.
And it's like her trying to basically forgive men for being assholes and pigs. It's his whole relationship with her is great. It's got a really good story.
The start of the View Askew universe.
No, the start of the View Askew universe was Mallrats.
Wouldn't it be Clerks?
Well, technically, Clerks is the first movie, but when they started tying everything together with Mallrats.
Okay.
I love Mallrats.
Oh, Mallrats is awesome.
And she's in that, too.
Yeah.
You see her naked in that movie.
Oh, me?
Beth, what's your number three?
You guys probably haven't heard of this one either. I have some weird ones on here. This is a 2005 movie directed by Nigel Cole, who has done nothing of substance, starring Ashton Kutcher, Amanda Peet, and Taryn Manning, who is Pennsylvania in Orange is the New Black, and Eminem's coked-out girlfriend from 8 Mile.
Oh.
She plays Ashton Kutcher's little sister. It's called Like Love.
I've never seen this either.
Amanda Peet, doesn't she strike you like she's a huge bitch in real life?
She does. She's got, like, a horse mouth, too. Like,
her
those
face.
Teeth are just, like... But I hear she's really nice.
Like, from Saving Silverman?
Yes.
I feel like that's who she is in real life.
Yeah, probably. That wouldn't surprise me.
Is she the blonde, curly-haired girl?
No.
No.
No, she's the...
She's got dark hair.
She's the bitch
very
from the beginning.
Thin.
No, that's Elizabeth Hurley, isn't it?
No.
It's Amanda Peet.
She's
Amanda
also in The Whole Nine Yards. Amanda Peet.
Yeah, she's the one that wants to be taken under Bruce Willis's wing and being taught how to be an assassin.
I always get her confused with Elizabeth Hurley.
Because they do kind of look similar.
They look similar, yeah.
She's definitely not as beautiful as Elizabeth Hurley.
Oh, God, she's so hot.
Yeah.
Okay.
Elizabeth Hurley have blonde hair?
Huh? No.
No.
Okay.
Okay.
All right, here's a synopsis. On a flight from Los Angeles to New York, Oliver and Emily make a connection, only to decide that they are poorly suited to be together. Over the next 7 years, however, they are reunited time and time again. They go from being acquaintances to close friends to lovers. And it's just kind of like, it just tells this whole story about them. They're like totally not meant for each other, but they keep running into each other and falling in love. It's very When Harry Met Sally, which is later down my list, but it's really funny and really cute and connected.
Is Taryn Manning also in Crossroads?
Yes.
Uh-huh.
I can't believe you've seen that movie.
I'm nailing it.
He is nailing it. He's getting more girl movie points than I am today.
I'm completely lost
sister.
This entire conversation.
I have a younger sister. You know, she looks like a coke addict in everything she does. Even when she looks pretty, she's just like...
Yeah, she's one of Britney's friends in Crossroads.
Is that the one that gets raped?
What?
She's the one that gets
in
raped.
In Crossroads?
Yeah, there's a
Crossroads you
watch. Scene in Crossroads.
Ooh, boy. I don't
remember
that.
Yeah, everybody blocked that from their subconscious.
I must have. Oh, my God. Are you sure we're talking about
the same thing? Yeah, Britney Spears.
Where Britney Spears wants to go on a road trip.
Yeah,
which was
the rest. Yeah, and then there's, like, a full-blown, like, rape scene in that movie.
No.
I don't remember that.
Fucking rewatch that movie, and you'll be like,
I have
David
to now.
Right.
I have to.
Yeah, now I need to know.
Okay.
But she's great as Pennsylvania in Orange
Put a damper
Black.
On that movie.
Yeah, Doug's number one. Crossroads.
Damn it.
God.
Damn it.
I don't remember that. Freaks me out.
All right, A Lot Like Love.
Yeah.
Number three.
It's good. You should watch it.
Ashton.
He's hilarious.
Is he dreamy?
He's really dorky in that one.
In this movie, he is. I don't think he is usually, but I liked him also in that movie. What's the one with Brittany Murphy where they just got married?
Thank you.
He's really funny in that one, too.
Yeah.
He's good in The Butterfly Effect.
Ooh,
yeah, when he's toned down.
No way. Don't even get me started on the fucking Butterfly Effect.
What?
How it's I guess sci-fi nerd here.
It's not bad for a serious role for him.
Oh,
it's really not.
It's fucking
not
trippy as hell.
When
it's
he's
like a bad Donnie Darko.
True.
Yeah,
I can see that, but I still think it's very good.
Also in the one, what's the one where they go to Vegas and it's got Cameron Diaz?
Oh,
Stays in Vegas or something like that?
What happens in Vegas?
That's a really cute movie.
It's a
cute
movie.
Yeah, that's a rom-com.
It's not bad.
I just don't like Cameron Diaz.
I don't either.
Like, I don't think she's attractive.
What about Bad Teacher?
Justin Timberlake in it? No. And he's hilarious in that, by the way.
They have one of the hottest sex scenes in all of Hollywood.
That dry humping scene where he comes in is horrible.
He's like, right there, wait.
They're both completely clothed. You're watching it and you're like, well, this is just fucking awkward.
He's amazing.
High school all over again.
He's so funny. So,
Oh my god.
That's more like middle school.
Oh.
We went to different...
Right, middle school. Middle school. Wink. That's what I meant.
I was going to say, apparently we're at different stages in high school.
Oh my. Oh my. Right. I don't want to know.
Wow.
I don't want
to
know.
All right, so moving let's on. Move on to number three. My number three.
Just shoot me.
2012. Musical.
Yeah, okay, you hinted at this one.
A musical.
Anna Kendrick.
Mm-hmm.
Pitch Perfect.
Oh, yeah. That's a good one.
All right, so the Bard and Bellas are a collegiate all-girls a cappella singing group thriving on female pop songs and their perfect looks. Well, that's a hell of an opening sentence.
Excuse me?
Yeah, bit of an ego there.
After a disastrous falling at last year's finals... Wow. They are forced to regroup. Among the new recruits is freshman Becca, an independent, aspiring DJ with no interest in the college life.
Mm.
But after she meets Jesse, her little heartthrob...
You mean the poor man's Dane Cook?
Poor man's Dane Cook, definitely.
Oh my god, yeah. That's totally what he is.
But with the vocals of a god...
Yeah, he does have a nice voice.
Really nice voice.
After she meets Jesse from the rival all-man a cappella group, Becca has a new outlook and takes it upon herself to help the Bellas find their new look and sound to get back in the competition.
The only reason I like that movie is because of Adam Devine. I think he is awesome in that movie.
Yeah, and
Rebel, I'm wearing a Workaholic shirt right now. And Rebel, I love him in that movie.
And Rebel Wilson.
Rebel Wilson's great.
He's hilarious.
Like, who was talking about the other
Fat movie? Amy.
Yeah, Fat
Actually,
Amy.
Actually, my real name is Fat Patricia.
Oh, dude, that movie, it's got some really good, like, one-liners.
It does.
I really liked Anna Kendrick's cover of No Diggity in that.
Oh, yeah, when they're in the pool. When they're in the pool.
Her song that she does with those cups, that became, like, viral, and then everyone was playing
it. Yeah, it's, like, on the radio now and shit.
And then there's, like, people fucking cups doing that song.
Oh, yeah. She got it from a girl on YouTube that actually did a cover of that song. It's by the, what are they, the Pixies? Not the Pixies, the I don't know. There's some obscure. But some girl did it on YouTube. It's on Reddit. You know, Anna Kendrick is like a Reddit rat. So she saw it and she brought it into.
Is that the term? Reddit rat?
I just made it up.
Wow. Like I like it.
Like that.
It's like a gym.
I kind of like it.
Like that.
It's
like
what do you call people in 4chan?
No.
You just call them no.
No, just don't.
No.
But even the a cappella numbers that throughout the whole movie are awesome.
Oh, no, I swear, if I had to hear that I Saw the Sign cover one more time, I was going to take a pitchfork to my face.
Isn't she kind of a bitch in that, like, unnaturally so? Like, I hate the fact that she's still, like, freaking, like...
Who, Anna Kendrick?
She's a bitch at the beginning.
Yeah, but even, like,
she's
like,
still kind of a
bitch. She's down to help everybody. Down with the cause.
Yeah, but the way you read the synopsis makes it sound like... The guy changed her into wanting to be motivated, and it wasn't really that at all. I think it's just like...
Well, he does kind of motivate her.
And he helps get her out of jail, and he's like, why'd you call my dad? It's just like, she's un...
He's kind of a pussy in that whole movie, though.
Yeah,
he's
maybe.
Kind of a little dick.
The,
maybe it works out.
Like, Asian girl's
she's
awesome
like so
though, isn't
angry
oh,
in the
God,
world.
No,
I
the roommate.
I ate my twin in the room.
Did she say that?
Yes.
Oh my god.
Then they have that really, like, that scene, Not for Emetophobes, where they're, like, puking all over the gym.
Yeah.
It's really gross.
Movie is... fucking hilarious.
It's got some
it's definitely funny. Yeah.
You spin my head right round, right round.
I like the a cappella No Diggity that they do.
Welcome to Beth's point.
Oh. Hi. Welcome to the podcast.
Welcome to 5 minutes ago, Jason.
I can't remember.
It is a good cover. That's one of my favorite songs.
Mm-hmm. All right,
No Diggity is one of your favorite songs?
Is it not one of your favorite songs in the whole world?
Why?
I like the way you work it. No diggity.
I'm not going to explain that I like it. I'm just going
to
be like, why
I used
would
to know
you not
a whole
like
rap
it?
To that
Shawty
when I was
get
little.
Down.
Who did that song?
Huh?
Who was the artist?
Fuck. I can't remember.
I don't know either.
It's like a...
Is that Black Street?
It is Black Street.
It is
yeah.
Black Street,
of course
yeah.
It's Black Street. Come on, guys.
All right.
Fuck you, Doug. You're younger than us.
Yeah,
you shouldn't know these things.
You don't know things.
I know these things.
Doug, number... Three?
No, that wasn't your
number
two.
Well, my number two. I didn't want to like interrupt Beth, but it is Just Friends. I love that movie.
Oh, you should have said something. We could have talked about it together.
Well, that's fine. We can talk about it a little bit more.
Number three.
Yeah, number two.
Number two.
Yeah, number two. I loved it. Anna Faris is so funny in this.
Yeah.
Like, I think Van Wilder would be a better romantic comedy than Just Friends.
I don't think... What's really romantic
dude,
about
Van Wilder? Tara Reid?
It's him and Tara Reid.
No,
that's
Tara
not
Reid,
romantic.
No.
A dude eats a donut with dog jizz in it.
Yeah.
That is not a good fucking romantic comedy.
My favorite line in that is when Tara Reid comes in and goes, what is she, a freshman? He goes, she reads at a sophomore level.
No, yeah, I mean, he's funny. Like, I love Ryan Reynolds' quips. I think the mom of Ryan Reynolds in this movie is also the woman from Airplane. And she's hilarious, too. She's so funny.
Mikey and I are making snow angels.
Be yourself. So, be yourself.
I so wanted his brother to end up with Anna Faris's character. Yeah.
They kind of do. I mean,
that's the guy from Girl Next Door, he's, right?
Yes,
he's the director in the Girl Next Door.
Yeah,
I think he's really funny.
He is very funny. Very funny. You notice that Ryan Reynolds plays hockey in both Van Wilder.
Ooh.
Maybe he's a hockey fan.
Yeah.
Okay, there you go.
There you go.
Well, there you go. A little fun fact for you.
I don't know. It's funny, too, because it's funny.
He is Canadian. Oh, my God.
Oh, right. Yeah.
He is Canadian.
It's funny.
It's the reason he wanted to play Deadpool in
because it's more than just...
Justin Bieber has made me hate all Canadians. Sorry, Jason. Go on.
You were saying?
For fuck's sakes.
Go on.
It's funny because...
It's not funny.
Come on, Dad.
Anything?
Finish.
Nobody?
Go on, Dad.
All right,
finish.
Fine. All right. Stop. All right. It's funny.
I'm turning this car around right now.
All right. Sorry.
I'm sorry. I had to do it.
It's funny...
Because fuck, I lost my train of thought. No, okay, wait. It's funny because it's more than just like the romantic comedy part of it too. It's also like everyone can relate with reliving their worst high school nightmares of like them being like humiliated or things that they
I was that person in high school.
Okay, so there you go. That's the fat guy.
With braces.
That's why it was hot girl. Funny.
She laughed at me when I asked her out.
Oh, no.
I was that person.
Did she give you a t-shirt with, like, friends or
no,
forever?
No, no, we were good friends, though. But, no, yeah. No, actually, that was me circa 2005. So I was a loser.
Any other reason?
Not that
I've
changed much.
No.
Sorry, Rain.
It's very quotable.
Friends.
That's why it's funny. I can quote that movie all day long.
I can't quote that movie.
Cool.
I can't stand Ryan Reynolds.
Cool. Why can't you stand Ryan Reynolds?
I just.
Is it because of the Canadian thing?
Might be.
You don't like Canadians?
Might be. I told you Justin Bieber's kind of ruined all Canadians for me.
He kind of did.
Well,
go back to your bobsledding, eh? All
right. So number two
for you. Number two for you.
Number
please.
Two for me is one of my favorite movies of all time. I love you, Jason. We love you. I'm sorry.
He looks so defeated.
He looks defeated as fuck. This is like Doug, like last week when Doug was like, oh, fuck, man. You messed up Ghostbusters. Blah.
I did mess up Ghostbusters.
I only know this because I'm going to listen to this podcast. I'm going to listen to this podcast like a couple days from now, and I'm going to be like, it's because, and I'm going to be like, they don't care about my opinion. Like, why am I even here? I don't understand.
Because you're necessary, Jason. We need you. We need
your
insight.
The punching bag.
It's
like,
we don't care about you. It's
fuck
Ryan
Jason's
Reynolds.
Opinion. Let me say what I gotta say.
It's Ryan Reynolds that I don't care about.
Oh, okay. My number two movie is one of my favorite movies of all time. It'll be on my top 5-10 list. It's a little movie from 1998.
What's the top 5-10?
Our top 10 list of favorite movies of all time.
Oh, okay.
Sorry. And I don't know numbers. It's directed by Harry Alfont, who also directed a little-known movie from the late 90s, early 2000s called Josie and the Pussycats.
No.
Wow.
Rachel Lee Cook.
Just an awful movie.
Yeah, and it also had another director, Deborah Kaplan.
Wait, is this your number? Is
this
number,
is my number two movie, yes.
Is no. Josie and the Pussycats?
No. That was the director. He also did that. Top bill cast is Ethan Embry and Jennifer Love Hewitt and Seth Green.
Can't hardly wait.
Can't fucking hardly wait.
That was the movie. Yeah.
I love this movie so much. I was a 90s kid, so I love all these terrible 90s rom-coms and comedies. Like,
that's
or mostly
classic.
Like the high school comedies, that's really like...
That's a classic.
That's what...
That's just like a step under American Pie, pretty much. It's all...
It was a tamer. It was a PG-13 version of American Pie.
And Jennifer Love Hewitt.
Oh, God, Jennifer... Oh, my God.
Gorgeous.
All right, the plot synopsis is multi-character teenage comedy about high school graduates with a different agenda of life on graduation night. That's... Fucking IMDb, it's not very...
I know, that's nothing. That means nothing.
Yeah. Essentially, Jennifer Love Hewitt's character just broke up with... Actually, the dude who played Carlisle Cullen in the Twilight movies.
Yes! He's the douchey...
Yeah.
Oh my God, I just made that connection.
Yeah. And she breaks up with him, and then Ethan Embry, who plays this kid Preston, he's always had a love of General Hsu's character, Amanda, since like freshman year of high school because they saw each other eating the same Pop-Tart.
Yes.
And it was like on the first day. It's great. And on like graduation night, he's about ready to go to some robotics camp because he's going to MIT or some shit. And then he gives her a letter he wrote when he was in ninth grade.
Yeah.
That he's been correcting that over the next four years.
And she finds it. She tries to search for him. And then, like, everybody is, like, asking her out and asking her out and asking her out because she's now single.
Including her cousin.
Including her cousin who hits on her. And, like, everybody's just saying how they want to fuck her. And then when he finally sees her at the end of the night after she's already wrote the letter, she's already just pissed off because every guy has already been asking her out to have and, like, have sex with him. And she basically tells him off, and then she realizes, oh, fuck, that's, like, super nice guy who wrote me the letter. And then she tries to find him, and hilarity ensues.
Seth Green's character.
And Seth Green is, like, this kid who is, like, got these stupid, like, goggles on his head. Yeah. And he's, like, trying to look trendy.
And they get locked in the bathroom. Like,
locked in the bathroom.
With his old friend from elementary school or something.
Yeah, it's really funny.
I think I've seen this, but I am not 100% sure.
The girl that plays Dharma from Dharma and Greg, she's like the angel. She's the angel. Or something. Yeah,
yeah, because yeah, he wants, because Mandy comes on the radio, the Barry Manilow song.
Yeah.
And he's like, oh shit, I gotta, and it's like, call now to talk to Barry Manilow. And he thinks it's a sign. So he stops at a phone booth just to talk to Barry Manilow. Or try to call and talk to Barry Manilow. Yeah, it's really good.
It's a great movie.
It's awesome.
All right, Beth, what's your number two?
My number two is a classic 1989 movie directed by Rob Reiner, starring Billy Crystal, Meg Ryan, and Carrie Fisher. It's When Harry Met Sally.
Mm. I did not know Carrie Fisher was in that movie.
Ooh. Yeah, she plays Meg Ryan's best friend in it.
She got the Leia buns still?
No, but she still looks kind of attractive.
She's still rocking it. Yeah. She's still pretty okay in that movie. But yeah, it's about two people who could be characters in a Woody Allen movie if they weren't so sunny, and about how it takes them 12 years to fall in love. That's basically what it comes down to.
Billy Crystal.
Like, oh, really? I love Billy Crystal.
I don't really like Billy Crystal.
I'm kind of with David on this one.
He's kind of obnoxious.
I think he's great.
Okay.
Have you ever seen his, he does storytelling on, like, live stages, and it was of his play that he wrote recently about him growing up with his father in New York and everything, and it's really great, but
yeah, it's kind of like a stand-up, but he's kind of like a storyteller kind of stand-up. He won an award or something
for it,
I think.
He won an Emmy
An Emmy, yeah. So, I don't know, it's good. I mean, you have to like Billy Crystal, though. I mean, did you not like City Slickers or any other movies he was in, or...
Well, I think the pinnacle is City Slickers 2, Search for Curly's Gold.
I like him because he's a very conservative, kind of very simple comedy about him. It's not like he's, like, wildly funny, but Meg Ryan, I can't stand Meg Ryan in anything, this is the only movie I like her in because she's just so cute and she's not...
I think I enjoyed her more.
Is this the fake orgasm movie?
Yes.
A log truck.
Yeah, yes. Yeah.
It's like that.
In the City of Angels.
This is a very cute movie. Mm. It's a classic. I'll put it on any day.
I was reading an IMDb list of a top 30 romantic comedies, and somebody put City of Angels on that list.
There's nothing funny.
I was like, there's not a funny fucking part of that movie.
It's like the most depressing movie ever made.
Yeah.
No, and in the same thing, I saw A Walk to Remember on a romantic
movie. Yeah, that movie's not funny at all. That's just sad. Dude.
Andy Moore's like dying, right?
Yeah. Well, it's like, Nicholas Sparks. It's always cancer.
It's Nicholas Sparks.
Like another movie. Shane West movie. Whatever happened to Shane West?
I was just watching this the other day, and I asked that too. I have no idea what happened to him.
He was so cool in that movie.
He was in Get Over It.
He
was the cool guy in that,
What was
too.
The one he was in with James Franco? There was one that was... He was with James Franco.
That
they
seems
were doing,
odd,
they were
because
doing
James Franco is more modern, and Shane West, I think,
oh,
just
James
90s.
Franco was so young in this. I can't remember what it was, but...
I have not a clue. I'm not sure. It's a weird pull for me.
It was really weird.
Do some research.
Okay.
So number two, When Harry Met Sally.
Yes.
All right.
When did that come out?
That seems like a classic.
89. It is a classic.
Seems like it was classic.
Everybody loved it. It's got all the quotes, you know, like you were saying, the orgasm over a sandwich.
I'll have what she's having.
Driving from Chicago to New York, and it's very classic.
Classic.
So you're number two, Doug.
My number two, we talked about it earlier, Forgetting Sarah Marshall.
Yeah.
Written by Jason Segel, as we talked about it, starring Jason Segel, Kristen Bell, Mila Kunis, Russell Brand, Bill Hader, Jonah Hill, and Paul Rudd. Paul Rudd makes an awesome
character. I forgot about Bill Hader in it.
Yeah.
Bill Hader's his friend.
Paul Rudd's the surfing instructor.
Yes. Yes. They're in every movie together.
I stopped wearing a watch when I moved out here. Oh, really? You just tell time by the sun? No, my cell phone's got the time on. But that movie, it's got so many one-liners in it that are flawless, really. And, you know, everyone's, even, like, the girls, guys, everyone in the movie is so fucking funny.
Yeah. And Jason Segel's writing a puppet show about Dracula.
Yeah.
A Taste for Love.
Is that what it's called?
Yeah.
It's good.
Nice.
Oh, it's so funny.
And come on, jump, Peter. I can see your hoo-ha from here.
It's just... And, I mean, people don't love Russell Brand, but I think he's hilarious.
I think he is, too. He's very smart.
I liked him in the movie because it was, like, my first exposure to him, but now I feel like I've been so overexposed to him because he's been in everything for the past couple of years.
Oh, God. He's atrocious.
It depends on what you watch, really. Like,
yeah.
I think Brand X kind of made people not like him because that show was awful.
Who the fuck watched Brand X?
It was awful.
It was pretty bad.
It was just him acting like a pompous ass.
It did seem a bit pretentious, yeah.
Exactly. And it made him come off as this, like, pretentious British guy.
He's very intelligent, but it's kind of hard for him to have a conversation. He needs to learn. He didn't learn how to dumb it down. I mean, that sounds stupid, but you need to be relatable to everyone when you're having a talk show host.
But it seems like he was everywhere for, like, the longest time.
He wrote a book. But this was the first. I mean, he kind of exploded onto the scene. I can't really think of Russell Brand before this.
I don't really either.
And then they did Arthur and Get Him to the Greek.
That remake was horrible.
I didn't hate it.
It had the girl from Kids. What's her name? Chloe Sevigny or what?
Kids?
Yeah, did you ever see that movie Kids by...
The blonde girl?
Yeah.
That would be a romantic comedy.
Yeah.
Yeah, I guess it would.
I would consider it.
I think I know what you're talking about.
I think, and what's her name? It was hilarious.
It was in the original.
Who else is in it?
In the original Arthur?
I don't know. I know his name.
It was Michael Caine.
Michael Caine was in it, but he wasn't Arthur.
He wasn't Arthur.
He talks all drunk all the time. Oh, God.
Keep going. I'll find it.
I can't think of
it.
It's not
Jude Law, is it?
No, Jude. No. No, you're thinking of another movie. You're thinking of, what is that fucking movie called?
Where he's the womanizer?
Yeah, where he's the womanizer. It looks just like, what the fuck is that
Hemingway?
Movie?
No, but that was a newer one.
Yeah, I haven't seen that yet.
Alright, Jason, so my number two is Forgetting Sarah Marshall. That was your three?
You said Dudley Moore! That's who played the original. Yeah.
No. You said Forgetting Sarah Marshall. That was your three, right?
No, that was number two for me.
Okay.
Number two.
Oh, wait. Forgetting Sarah Marshall, it was number three for me. Yeah,
Alright, so are we on to number ones now?
Yeah, Jason starts off
with
number one. Jason, your number one romantic comedy.
So when we did our sci-fi list, I put Moon at number one. And I think I talked to you, Doug, about it. I was like, you know, I rewatched it after I made my list and after we had the podcast. And I was like, you know, this is good, but I regret putting this as my number one. It probably should have been bumped down maybe a few. So I took this movie and I watched it last night, and I still like it as my number one. It is a movie from 2001, and it's called Kate and Leopold.
Is this the fucking time travel movie?
Yes, it is. Okay, here's funny, too.
It is a really cute movie.
I would have told you, just by the cast, hey, it's a Hugh Jackman and Liev Schreiber film, David, you would immediately think of
Wolverine! I was like, there's no love in Wolverine.
But it's funny because, like, this is way, way before that, because he's much younger. Hugh Jackman's much younger. It's Meg Ryan, Hugh Jackman, Liev Schreiber.
Breckin Meyer,
yeah.
Who's also in Can't Hardly Wait.
And Can't Hardly Wait.
Yeah. The IMDb description of this was way too long, which is unusual for IMDb. It was two paragraphs for this movie. I was like, you can't sum this up faster.
Well, it's hard to explain.
Well, and it was a spoiler version and a non-spoiler version, so I'm going to try to do the non-spoiler version. It's basically Liev Schreiber's kind of like this inventor, and he had been dating Meg Ryan, but the story opens a month after they've broken up. So they're living just one apartment above each other, and they kind of like walk back and forth between the fire escapes up and down to their apartments through the windows. But he has found a portal in time where he can jump. They're in New York. He can jump off the Brooklyn Bridge at a certain point where that portal is, and he's transported back to 1876. Hugh Jackman is this duke back in 1876 who's basically Liev Schreiber's great-great-great-granddad, and he was the inventor of the elevator, a couple different things. So Liev Schreiber's just back there taking pictures and stuff with this really small camera, and like Hugh Jackman kind of gets interested and starts tailing him, and then Liev Schreiber's like, oh crap, I don't want to cause a ripple in time, so he tries to run away, and then they all go up to the bridge in 1876, and they both accidentally fall into this portal. So Hugh Jackman's now back in modern time, and it's kind of like him being very chivalrous and yet not knowing anything that's going on around in the world.
And
he's very endearing in it.
He's so charming.
Hugh Jackman?
Yes.
Is adorable.
Because he's very proper. And
he stands up when Meg Ryan gets up from the table, and she's like, what the fuck are you doing? He's I'm used to standing up when a lady leaves. And, you know, she's, like, eating this up, right? And
there's a lot of, like, unique moments like that, where it's just, like, clashing of his, like, proper manners, and he's a very well-put-together man, and the romance between him and Meg Ryan start developing. And even Hugh Jackman helps Breckin Meyer with his girl trouble, because he's kind of, like, spastic, and he's like, you know, you gotta calm down, and...
So no Wolverine claws in this
movie. No Wolverine claws.
Okay, then I'm completely not sold on this movie.
Oh, but it's got so many funny parts in it too, just because of the clash. Like it's got a little bit of sci-fi
very gooey
element.
Oh, that whole fish out of water thing always sells really well.
Yeah, yeah.
And you know, I guess it could be really charming.
Oh, well, okay. Here, I got another one for you too. Another little factoid: the director is James Mangold, which you may know. Guess what he directed?
That name sounds really familiar.
Think of what movie you just screamed out.
Wolverine?
Yes. He directed The Wolverine.
Oh, The Wolverine?
The Wolverine. Okay. Yes, yes. He also directed Walk the Line, 310 to Yuma, and Girl Interrupted.
Oh, Walk the Line's what I was thinking of. That's what, yeah.
Yeah, so kind of a random movie to be put in there, but look at the pedigree of movies that's with that little group. It's a good movie. I liked
it
a lot.
It's very cute.
Yeah. He's a competent director.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah. So that was my number one. So not much to say about, because I know you all haven't seen it, but I mean, I would highly recommend it. It's hilarious. If you like rom-coms and you haven't seen this, it's a good one to look up.
It takes a little while to get into. I'll say
it does. It starts slow. But I mean, he instantly gets transported in time at the very beginning, but I don't know. It's good.
This whole time, all I can think of is this other movie where they go back. It takes place in New York City. Someone goes back in time.
Mm-hmm.
And to, like, colonial times.
Okay.
But then the colonial woman is brought to New York City and everything, and she's, like, a princess or something.
You're thinking of Enchanted.
That is exactly what I'm thinking of.
That's what you're thinking of.
Oh, I was trying to think of what that movie was.
But I was thinking either that or Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure.
But that's from she's not from, like, an ancient time. She's from a fairy tale,
yeah,
right?
She's like a fairy tale.
Out of a book, yeah. But yeah.
Medieval babe.
And then
that's all I could think
the McDreamy guy from Grey's Anatomy.
Patrick Dempsey.
He quit acting to be a race car driver, didn't he?
Yeah, he's racing.
He's done.
He's a shitty driver, but...
like the Indianapolis 500 kind of cars.
Oh, he's a Indy driver. Okay.
Yeah, Indy driver. Yeah, he quit.
That's cool.
It's just kind of crazy.
What is it? That's not. Was it Formula One? Is that?
Yeah.
Okay. Not Indy cars. That's what we call them because we're rednecks.
But. Yeah, but there's different. Even race. Formula One's like the top of the top. There's other ones that are below it that use that. I don't think he does Formula
Open
One.
Open wheeled racer. That's what it's called.
There you
that's what it's called.
Yeah. But all right, well, David, what's your number one?
My number one is one of my favorite movies. I don't. This was kind of. It might be a stretch. I don't know, but I consider it a romantic comedy.
Juno.
No, it does have a character from. Don't blurt it out. Some character from Juno. It's directed by Edgar Wright, which will probably tell you what it is. And it's based on a comic book. It's top-billed cast, Michael Cera, Mary Elizabeth Winstead, Kieran Culkin, and Chris Evans. Scott Pilgrim versus the World.
That's a good one.
Yeah.
The plot synopsis, this really sums up the entire movie. Scott Pilgrim must defeat his girlfriend Seven Evil Exes in order to win her heart.
Yeah. No, and movie is funny. I agree. It is a romantic comedy.
God, Michael Cera just... He plays, like, that nerdy, douchey, loser guy well. And he just kind of becomes a badass.
What is the big thing about Mary Elizabeth Winstead?
I don't know.
Is everybody in love with her?
I can name... I was going to say something.
No, I can't think of, anything. I looked at...
She's been in, like, one or two other movies. I can't think of what they are, though.
She looks cute in this movie, but... I don't know.
Michael Cera is just loving the romantic comedies.
Yeah.
Are you looking at her IMDb?
Because he was in, he's in Juno, right?
He's in Juno.
Is
but
he
I really wouldn't consider that a romantic
Super
comedy.
Bad.
Is he in Nick and Nora's Impeachment?
He's in
that was on my honorable mention.
That's an honorable mention.
I was going
to
say, the three
that
he was in was Juno, Nick and Nora's, and then this one. He's playing the same character.
No,
and Super Bad, pretty much.
And Youth and Revolt.
And Youth and Revolt. Yeah, but he's so weird in that movie.
That is a weird
movie. Real quick. The Jude Law movie we couldn't think of, which is also kind of a romantic comedy. It's not Arthur. It's called Alfie.
Alfie!
Yeah.
That's it.
Yeah.
But, no, I've been a fan of the Scott Pilgrim vs. the World manga series.
Mm.
I've read them all. up to the point when the guy, when they were making the movie, he was finishing the last volume, so they actually worked it out together when they were filming it.
That's cool.
Jason Schwartzman?
Jason Schwartzman plays the evil ex, like the number one bad guy.
Chris Evans one's the ex's too, right?
Yes. No, he's one of he's like
he's
the skateboard
the
ex.
Yeah.
He's like, I bet you can't do one of those things over there on that roof. I think you mean a grind, bro.
He's so awesome in that movie, though. I remember his lines were so funny.
Now, he's great. Kieran Culkin, who plays his gay roommate.
I love Kieran Culkin.
Yeah.
He's so funny throughout the whole movie. And he's got the obsessive girlfriend, Knives Chow, who's always trying to get with him. And then she starts dating his friend, Young Neil, who takes his place in the band at the end. It's such a great movie.
No,
the music is awesome in it.
And I love Michael Cera. I think that...
He's physically, like... revolting to me. I hate fucking
he's a great
little
actor,
George Michael.
Though. Great
I've
actor.
I've hated him since Arrested Development.
No.
Which I love that series, but he is atrocious in that.
I think he's great in that.
And not a fan of Michael Cera.
Not really either.
Super Bad, Year One.
I don't like Year One is horrible.
I actually think Year One's kind of funny.
Year One's hilarious.
And it's not because of the blasphemy things that I think it's horrible. I just don't think it's a very good movie.
I think it's funny.
Oh, it's not a good
I feel
movie.
Like you don't like,
no.
I
just think it's
I feel like you don't
parts.
Like Jack Black.
I don't like Jack Black.
Yeah.
And which he's in one of my honorable mentions on this list. Hmm. Shallow Hal.
That's what I was gonna say.
Oh, I didn't even think about that.
That's what I was gonna say.
My number one?
Yeah, Beth, what's your number one?
You guys haven't heard of this one either, but I'll explain it to you. It's a movie from 1997, directed by Mark Joffe. I don't think he's done anything.
I know that name.
Starring Janine Garofalo, David O'Hara. Janine Garofalo and David O'Hara. And you may know David O'Hara from Braveheart. He's the Irish guy.
Wet Hot American Summer.
Wet Hot American Summer. No, it's not.
No,
I'm sorry, it's not. Wet Hot American Summer was on my honorable mentions. But this is a...
Would you consider that a romantic comedy?
I don't know.
Kind of.
Wet Hot American Summer? That movie's just weird.
I love that movie.
Dude, that gay sex scene,
the Bradley Cooper
sex scene, is weird.
That's true. It
and
is.
Now, when you go back and watch it,
what's
you're
his
like,
name?
Michael Showalter.
Michael Showalter.
Not Michael Showalter.
It's Michael Showalter.
Michael Ian Black.
Anyway, it's not Wet Hot American Summer. It's it's The Matchmaker.
Which is awesome.
I've never heard of this movie.
Okay, every guy I have introduced this movie to has absolutely loved it because it's got that, like, I don't know if you like that Irish humor. Like, if you've ever seen Waking Ned Divine or, like, any of those kind of, like... Okay, well, it's quirky and it's kitschy and it's kind of funny, but... anyway, Marcy is an assistant to Senator John McGlory, who's having problems with a re-election campaign. Marcy is Janine Garofalo. Desperate for Irish votes, McGlory's chief of staff, Nick, sends Marcy to Ireland to trace McGlory's relatives or ancestors. Marcy arrives in the village of Ballinagra when it's preparing for an annual matchmaking festival, not... like, actual matches, but, like, matchmaking people to each other. A well-dressed, handsome, and single young lady, she becomes the center of attention for two professional matchmakers, Dermot and Millie, as well as for bartender Sean.
What year was this movie?
97.
It seems weird, because it seems like there's a lot of crossover with people in, like, romantic comedy.
I think so. I think they do that on...
Except for Janine Garofalo. I don't know too many romantic comedies she's
been
in.
Well,
Truth About Cats and Dogs was a good one that she did.
Yeah.
But I was thinking Janine Garofalo, and I thought she was in Chasing Amy, but then I remembered it was actually Dogma that she was in.
Yeah.
Half-Baked.
Maybe the romantic comedy Mystery Man is what you're thinking of?
Mystery Man. Where she had her dad's skull in the bowling ball.
Yeah,
and,
yeah.
And William H. Macy is like the shoveler or something stupid
yeah,
like that.
Yeah.
Anyway, I totally suggest this to, like, every guy that... They want a romantic comedy that's not, like, too mushy, and it's really funny and quirky.
Hate Janine Garofalo, though.
She's not bad
in
this.
I don't like her, but I like her in this.
She's butt ugly.
She's kind of cute in this one.
Okay.
She's younger. It's 97, so it's
she's not
like,
coming... She's not into her full-flaming feminist...
Oh, no, she's not in this one, no. She's more... She plays the kind of...
She
falls
looks,
in love kind of...
Did you list Dennis Leary?
Dennis Leary's in this as
Dennis
well.
Leary.
He
like
plays
Leary.
The campaign manager.
Yeah, he's like the
he's
he
terrible.
Is he loud, like normal Dennis Leary? Is he like loud, boisterous?
Well, he's obnoxious.
Kind of,
he's like...
He's really mean.
He's sleazy, too.
Oh,
yeah,
okay.
Yeah, sleazy and mean in this one.
Janine Garofalo looks like she drives a Subaru Outback.
With a dog cage in the back?
With a dog cage in the back.
Separating the back.
That's very specific.
Just think of the type of person that would drive that and... Okay, Janine Garofalo.
Janine Garofalo.
I take offense to this every time you say it, because I dated a girl who had a Subaru Outback.
I rest my case.
Oh my god. That's terrible.
Alright, Doug, finish this off here. What's
last
your number one?
Alright, number one. 2012, director Wes Anderson.
Fuck, you're gonna put Moonrise Kingdom on your
Moonrise Kingdom.
That's my honorable mentions.
Yeah.
I mean, I love Wes Anderson movies.
The worst Wes Anderson film, in my opinion.
No, I would disagree with that.
I think Life Aquatic is the
fuck y'all. Life Aquatic is one of the best.
Life Aquatic is terrible.
It is hilarious.
The worst one. I'll be surprised if you guys have seen it. Is Darjeeling Limited?
I've seen Darjeeling Limited. That one's bad.
That one's the worst one.
That one's bad. Dude, I just don't really care for Owen Wilson in that film.
Alright, so Moonrise Kingdom, set on an island off the coast of New England called New Penzance, which is a fictional island. In the 1960s, a young boy and girl fall in love, and they are moved to run away together. Various factions of the town mobilize to search for them, and the town is turned upside down, which might not be such a bad thing. That's a terrible
ending. Yeah, that is really not a very good description.
But what I love about this movie is that, like, it's an island, but it feels like no one else is on the island except for the people involved in the movie.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
All right, so you got the little kid played by Jared Gilman. He's
brilliant.
He's hilarious. He's a khaki scout. And his khaki scout group is going to watch a play. And he, like, sneaks backstage and falls in love with this little girl, who is Kara Hayward. And they wind up becoming pen pals and kind of writing to each other. And then the khaki scouts are going to stay on New Penzance, where she lives, to do a Boy Scout retreat or something like that. And then they make a pact to run away together and meet up, and they kind of, like, run off and do their own thing, and it's kind of... And Bruce Willis is the cop on the island, and he's helping to try and find...
Edward Norton is the khaki scout leader.
Edward Norton is...
Edward Norton in every Wes Anderson film ever.
He flew the coop!
And Jason Schwartzman plays the other khaki scout leader.
Yeah. The one that marries them.
His cousin or whatever.
The one that marries them and everything.
No weapons. This is a rescue mission.
Well, what if he resists? And of course, Bill Murray's in it. Who you expect? He's
weird.
He's the father.
He's not funny at all.
Hey, do you have any idea that your daughter's missing? That kind of sounds like a loaded question. But I mean, I love Wes Anderson movies, especially this one. It's like a work of art almost, rather than a movie. Like, I love his scenery. His scenes are flawless.
And
yeah, they're beautiful.
The sets are just.
I'm gonna steal something from Jason here. The soundtrack. Hank Williams Sr. is the soundtrack to this whole film, and that's the only reason I like it. It's got the
banjo riffs.
Yeah. The music is just awesome.
While he's like going down the river and everything.
It's like 1950s. It's like honky tonk music. Yeah. It sets the tone.
And like, I love the contrast between the little boy and the little girl, because he's like wise beyond his years, kind of, like, where he's very smart and everything.
He's an orphan.
And he's very good at being a khaki scout and everything. Like, Edward Norton always says at the end of it, if we had time to do a spot check back there, I would have given you a commendable.
Yeah. on the beach or whatever.
Yeah, when they, like, run away.
It's one of the best camp setups I've ever seen.
But that fucking scene on the beach is so uncomfortable to me, and that's why I can't.
It's because kissing. They're kids.
They're kids.
That's exactly how it goes.
The little boy
is
feeling up the girl who is starting, like, right there at the age of.
It's the first boob you've ever felt, David.
She makes a joke where she goes,
and "Oh God, it's
always awkward the first time."
Yeah, but it should be awkward for him. I don't want to feel awkward for him.
Yeah, but Wes Anderson kind of incorporates awkward humor into his stuff, because she goes, oh, you can touch them if you want. I think they're going to get bigger.
Yeah.
It's like, that's making weird. A joke. I mean...
I don't like seeing
preteen-age
kids in their underwear.
It is creepy.
That is creepy.
But then when they're dancing, it's so funny.
You cut that scene out of the movie, I like it. I like it a whole lot more. Or put a t-shirt on.
I like the conversation they're having when he gives her the fish hook earrings, and they're sitting there and talking about what they're going to do in their future. That's more of like the romantic part, but yeah, the part on the beach is really uncomfortable.
Yeah.
To go off of what you were saying, Doug, you said, you know, you love how the scenes are just kind of like succinct, and they're all like their own little thing. They're like, boom, here's a scene, boom, here's a scene. They're so pretty, and it's like a work of art. When I watched both this one and even the Grand Budapest Hotel, both of those movies, it almost seems like they could be a pop-up book. You, like, flip the page, pop-up, vibrant colors, you're reading the dialogue, it's really funny, then you flip the page, it's another pop-up book. I don't know why, it's a really weird mental image I get when I watch these, but that's what it reminds me of.
Like, if you go back and watch Moonrise Kingdom, like, he does that cool camera work where he basically has really long pans, and where it's kind of a continuous set and everything. Watch the beginning of it where he's basically following Edward Norton as he's going from his tent over to the table to eat breakfast. And just watch the scenery throughout that whole part right there. And pause it when you're looking inside one of the tents and just realize how much detail. And it's like it looks like a piece of art.
The reason you like that is because it's not filmed on a soundstage like 90% of the other films
are. And it is one continuous shot. That's a really impressive scene, just the one you mentioned there, when they're going through the Boy Scouts, because they go through the long table. He's walking through. He's giving, like, spot checks. He's like, you know, tuck your shirt in.
Yeah.
Does it end when there's, like, what are you building here? And he sees the treehouse way up there?
Yeah.
It either starts or it ends with
that. No, it ends when he sits down at the table and notices that the one is missing.
Yeah.
I'm sure if you guys have seen Royal Tenenbaums and everything, mm-hmm. when he's scrolling the camera through the different rooms in the house, moving its way up, it's just like, I love that shit right there.
Yeah.
And it's very good. Very impressive.
Well, I think that's number ones for everybody.
Number ones.
Yeah.
All right, so we're not going to be playing a game this week just because we went kind of a little bit longer than expected due to our top fives.
We had an extra special guest this week, so that's why we had to.
I feel extra special.
So we're just gonna say bye for now. If you guys want to email us, you can email us at everythingilearnedpodcast@gmail.com.
What is that? Repeat that again?
In case you haven't heard, it's everythingilearnedpodcast@gmail.com. Okay, backwards, spell M-O-C dot...
We're not going
to
go that
way.
Okay.
Oh, God.
L-I-A-M-A.
But I'm impressed that you did all that.
I would like to thank Beth for appearing on this
episode. Thank you for having me.
It's very nice to have a female opinion on these movies. Sorry, hopefully we didn't make you feel too uncomfortable with our banter. And treat you like one of the dudes.
I'm going to need therapy after this.
Yeah, I don't.
Again, we've had a lot of actual A-list stars wanting to get on our show. If you have any suggestions, email in.
Well, we need some new alumni on the show, guys.
Yeah, right.
But
signing off, I'm Doug.
I'm Jason.
And I'm David.
I'm Beth.
See you guys.
Thank y'all.